Blog Talk Radio.
Inspire herself, your purpose midwife, your biggest cheerleader. So y'all, I tell y'all, I'm excited about tonight because there's somebody that's more high energy than me that's with us tonight, and I'm loving it. But we're going to kind of just do a recap from last week. So last week we was talking about it's homing time. So it is, today's the 8th, so we still have, what, about 23 days to really bring it on home. There's some things that you can get done. So last week we talked about it being honing time. So this week we're talking about is time for your power of your mind, so that your words and your mind got to rock, right? So we have a perfect guest for this, and he is the mind mechanic, no other than Michael Gibbon. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, hello. happy time. Super excited to be here.
Well, welcome to the show. I tell you, we were so excited because as I was praying that morning about the topic, and I wanted it to go like hand in hand because I need everybody to know we're going to finish 2020 strong. I don't care about what it looked like or what we've been through in the midst of it. You know what?
Right.
We're still here. And one of the things that I
say,
yes.
If you're listening, you're here.
One of the things I say all the time, Michael, is as long as there's breath in my body, there's purpose to fulfill, right? So that's
Amen.
One of my things. And that was something the Holy Spirit gave me that I can't even take credit for it. So I really, really want to, you know, help people understand that their mindset and their words are what's going to help them get to that next place, you know, because some of them have been in that place of kind of stuckivity.
You said stuckivity?
Stuckivity. It's a word I just came up with.
You know, I got words like that, too. We call them gabonics on my side of the family.
Love it. Yes. So I want us to help them tonight get unstuck. So we're shifting the mindset with the mind mechanic, and then we're going to help them understand that those words got to line up as well. So let's help them out. Can you help me help them out?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, thank you for having me. We just met last week, and you were on some of my little sessions I was doing, and you were on fire yourself. So you got that zest. I love that. I don't find too many people who are on the same, you know, frequency and vibe that I typically have. So it's an honor to be here. And welcome everybody who's joining live. I shared this out to a few of my places too, so there'll be some people being introduced to you as well. So I'm excited to share you with everybody that I know as well. So one of the things, you know, that's interesting that recently, I love little acronyms and different things, but this whole mind mechanic, I was thinking of tune-ups. That's what you're on last week, Mind Tune-Up Time Live. And I came up with this mind tune-up method, this idea that what we speak, what we think, what we feel, and what we believe need to align. Uh-huh. So sometimes you hear people talk about affirmations. Uh-huh. So they're saying, I'm abundant. I'm abundant. I'm doing amazing. Things are great. But inside, they don't feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got people right now who are saying these things, but inside, they don't feel it. Or they told, they heard it from somebody. Say affirmation. Say positive things. And they're like, this is stupid. This is dumb. And so that misalignment there of thinking this is stupid, it really will produce because you feel stupid doing it. You don't feel good doing this thing. So if we get what you think, what you speak, what you feel, and what you believe all aligned, magic starts to happen. But that doesn't mean, you know, people got bills to pay, right?
Right.
Everybody out there listening, they got bills to pay. They got responsibilities. They got their mortgages. They got food to put on the table. They got the thing. So there's an aspect of essentially – I think too many people, what I've found, and I even played in both realms, is that we either live all in reality, which is what is, what we can see, what we can touch, what's right in front of us,
mm-hmm.
right? And for some people, that's not good right now.
Right.
What they see, what they got is not good. Then there's the other end of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
the dreamers, right? Full-blown, they still got it inside of them, and they're dreaming. While they don't live anywhere in reality and what's going on. So they're just going to ignore what is. And I've found that if we can have a marriage between the two, find this ability to be realistic with what is happening right now, that you may be upset. You might need to cry. You might need to be angry, but let that out. Too many times we're pushing down our emotions, right? We're sitting here and we're not, you know, a lot of males have this, females have it, doesn't matter, but this idea of shoving things down, I got it, I'm good. You know, I have different people in my life, and I've had this ability to now realize that it's human to feel, it's mm-hmm. human to cry, it's human to be scared, to be fearful, right? Nobody, there is no one as a collective whole, there may or may not be some unicorns out there, but as a default, the vast majority of human beings, whether you're, you know, I love me some Steve Harvey and Oprah and you know, anywhere in between that's there as well, but if you hear their stories, if you see what's going on in their lives, they're still struggling, right? And nobody who's out there inspiring is without difficulty, without challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've fallen in love, quite frankly, and an acceptance with that problems and challenges, no matter who you are, what you've achieved, what you've accomplished, how much money you make, where you live, challenges, problems, difficulties exist for all. And they show up in different ways. But if we can accept they're going to be there, and, you know, I've been bringing this up. How many of the audience members, I got this, is not an actual physical Blockbuster card. This is a Blockbuster little, came off a T-shirt I got. So make it a Blockbuster night. Got it from Target. So I keep this and I look at it. But recently I've been using this analogy of this idea that this ain't coming back right now. I remember going on a Friday night, some of you, your 30s, 40s, 50s, you remember you go to Blockbuster, whatever your movie store was. And it was a great little experience. And at times you couldn't get the movie. They only had so many copies. So you had to come back, you know, multiple times and hope it'd be there. And now you got things like Netflix and Hulu. As long as you got the money to pay, it's there, it's there. They know, oh, there's too many people watching such and such show right now. You're going to have to wait. We live in this instant gratification world where we get what we want when we want it. But yet there's things that people want right now listening that they don't have and they seemingly can't get. And you resonated on a call from a program you're involved in and whatnot, where the people I've resonated with that I'm really hitting home with right now are the people who are stuck and confused, who've gone through so much personal development, spiritual development, et cetera, et cetera. Whether they're giving it, I have no judgment on anybody's beliefs. Now, you're God, I grew up Catholic. You know, I don't have any judgment, though, what people want to do, because what I've found is that there's a lot of different ways to believe. There's a lot of different ways to have faith and to have trust. And whether that's in self and God and Buddha, whatever you believe, there's no judgment here for me. So I'm here to support all you with whatever you got going on. But there is this aspect that even when you're giving it to God or not, or of course someone else, at times when we're allowing and only giving to others on a silver platter our mind, then we lose trust in ourselves and faith in ourselves. And so there was a point in time in my career where I trusted my intuition. I trusted my faith. I moved forward. I had these little inspired moments, and I took action. And then there was a time I stopped doing that. I stopped believing. I stopped having faith. I stopped trusting. And I started following all these people. You know, for some of those who don't know, I owned a video production company for a long time. And during that video production company, I got to work with people like Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss, the author of 4-Hour Workweek. I've been to Sir Richard Branson and Virgin Airlines, you know, Island, Necker Island, like four times. And lots of people in personal development. Even somebody, I filmed a reality show. I was 1 degree of separation from Oprah Winfrey. I filmed it with Sweetie Pies. I don't know if any of you saw that. Sweetie Pies on OWN was a show that I filmed the pilot for back in 2011. And so I've got to be around some of the best. And why I struggled was because I had low self-esteem and low self-worth. And so I believed in these people. And I thought, they know better than me. Yeah, St. Louis. That's where I'm from. Asana? Isan? Isna? And so... The thing was, is I gave that up to other people. And I thought, well, they're smarter, they're wiser, they seem to be more successful, they may or may not be making more money. So we say, they must know better. And so we have people at times that we trust and could be very well intentioned with great advice, but to the degree they seek to understand you. I've studied under an incredible behavioral profiler, one of the best in the industry, best in the world at understanding people and human behavior for like 7 years. What I've come to realize, even through COVID and the BLM being reignited this year and different, it's always been there. I get the whole thing. But all these things, what I found is there is a divide. It's unfortunate, but there is. And so there's always two sides. To the degree that people believe this is the way I speak for all people and everybody agrees with me is wrong. It's a lie. There are people that will agree with you, but there are also people that disagree. They think they're right and you're wrong and you're right and they're wrong. And so if we can start to have empathy for other people and an understanding that there are differences, but not judge people for their differences. So for me, what I found is the people I seek advice kind of saw right through me and they saw, well, here's what I would do if I were you. Well, the problem is they're not me as themselves. We might be in alignment, i.e. somebody you buy a course or a book or a program for and you just get results. You're like, wow, and it's all in alignment. You're moving forward powerfully. Well, others, it's great advice, but you're not quite sure why you're trying to go through the motions of doing what they're telling you to do, and yet it's not working, and yet there's so much resistance and difficulty. So when I finally, my video production company did what I call a my way decision. So this decision was to shoot, edit, dress, speak, everything my way. Now, it could seem selfish, but here's what I found. It was very selfless, and I served people on a deeper level than I ever served them before. Because I was doing things that I didn't even enjoy, that I wasn't great at, trying to people please, trying to just do what I thought was best, what the industry told me to do. And so when I came in with that zest and that fire and that energy to do what I loved, and people loved as well, they did. Because what I was doing is I was delivering upwards of 9, 10, 12 wedding videos. And 6 months after people had their wedding DVDs, I'd say, how do you like everything? And they'd say, well, the only thing we've watched is the same day edit. Well, the same day edit was the thing I literally shot, edited, and showed at their wedding. So these other videos that took months for me to put together, they didn't even watch. They didn't even look at. 6 months plus, they'd have the DVD, and they didn't even watch it. And so I had this epiphany around 2010, 2011 to eliminate everything from my business that I didn't love doing. That I was trying to be like other people and the peers and the people would tell me to do this and do that. So now in coaching, it was the same thing. And I think this can apply to any industry, anything you're trying to do, whether you're trying to be a writer, they're trying to be a videographer, designer, a web designer, a coach, a speaker. See, college, universities, a lot of degrees, certificates, et cetera, they essentially teach people to fit in the box. Right, and we make all these replicates and duplicates where people, I've had people with multi-$100,000 degrees that were so stuck in a way. They weren't coachable. They thought they were right and I was wrong, and they weren't even making a living doing what they were doing, right? But they got taught to do things in a certain way. And now this ability for people, you know, my one buddy Steve always say, you know, want to be the jar of pennies, you want to be the red penny. A lot of people I attract, they want to stick out. They want to shine. They want to let their unique voice out there, but right now they're hiding and they're afraid and they're fearful because they're afraid of judgment. I found to the people to the degree I was fearing being judged.
And so when I recognized that fact, I started to shift that and remove that judgment that I was placing on others. And the less I judged others, the less I judged myself. The less I judged myself, the more I put myself out there. And so in the last even just 6 months, my wife called me to my mechanic on June 17th. And just all these things started to click. And the amazing opportunities that is happening, because I finally drew a sand, you know, line in the sand and said, here's my way. You know, I'm going to show up. This is my sweet spot. Not putting together courses and programs and step by steps and follow this to a T and do this and this challenge and that thing. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of it. But for Michael Gevin, it was not something that I really resonated with, even helped me on deep levels when I would go through them sometimes. But it was so much resistance. But the feedback I get when I do this is through the roof. And so the more I can spend time doing this, it's the same thing I did in video. The more time I spent doing the exact type of video I knew I loved and other people loved and resonated, I was certain, I was confident, I was clear, and I moved forward in a powerful way. But here's the thing. This is a nugget I told you that I would share with everybody that I think is a powerful thing. A lot of us are crystal clear on what we do now. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I don't want this job anymore. I'm tired of the money I'm making. I'm tired of being in debt. Right? I'm tired of where I live. I'm tired of the weather. I'm tired of COVID. Yeah, this is what I was going to say about this with Blockbuster earlier. People want things to come back to normal. They're hoping that things will come back to normal, that this will be a distant memory of the past, 2020 and COVID. And then you just be like, oh, my God, remember 2020? It was the worst year of my life. And da-da-da, everything shut down. We're wearing masks. Can't see our smiles, all this kind of stuff. And yet, what if that never happens? I'm not saying it won't. But if you could start to accept that maybe it won't, maybe some version of it will, you can start to make progress rather than having it be in another thing and you make an excuse to be able to wait until someday when it may or may not go back to normalcy. And I think when you're on this thing, this challenge for everybody for this 30 days towards the end of the year, yes, a lot of people are retreating even more than they already have the whole year. But now is the time to start to come out, right, to awaken, to unleash that fire inside of you, on fire to inspire. I love that. And so my mission with people as well is to do that, to be that catalyst, to be that jumpstart, to get people to realize they got a vehicle that is a super powerful vehicle with 8 gears, 200, you know, mile per hour, 500 horsepower vehicle. But a lot of people, they haven't tuned it up in a long time. They ain't got gas in the tank. They haven't changed the tires and freaking spark plugs. Everything's dead. And we got to bring that back to life because, like you said, there's a simmer there. If we can ignite that fire inside of somebody, tune them up, tweak them out, and get them moving, they can start making progress. But here's the shift. We have to go from focusing on what we don't want and what might be the current reality to what we do want. So it's not to ignore and act like it doesn't exist, like you ain't got no bills. And well, I just forget all those. Now, granted, I can get a whole thing about that too, but we'll just say for the sake of this right now, you got to do what you got to do to maintain what you got. But we can start to shift our focus. There's a sign behind me. I always love this magic. That magic sign is always there. Problem is right now I'm blocking it, so you can't see it. We can imagine right now what you don't want. You don't want to see my smiling face. You want magic in your life, right? But if I keep blocking the magic because all you can see is me, then that's all you got. So this could be reality, your bills, your debt, what you don't want. But it is what it is. Now, the magic's there. The abundance is there. The opportunities are there. But if all we do is look at what is, then that's all we'll see and it's all we'll get. If we can start to accept what is, take care of what is, but shift our focus to what we want, what we desire, what we're looking forward to, it's a powerful shift. So what I did is I used to speak all the time about what I didn't want. I didn't want to do video anymore. I didn't want to travel anymore. I was living some other's dreams. I lived a version of my own dream for a while until it wasn't my dream anymore. And I didn't want to travel anymore. I didn't want to have debt. I didn't want to do video. But I didn't focus nor spend time speaking about what I wanted. I wasn't even fully clear. I knew I wanted to inspire, but a lot of people say, I want to help people. Well, I mean, I do too, and I am. But there's a lot. Not a lot, but there's things to that to make that a reality in your life. And to the degree you believe in yourself, what you do, what you offer – can take time of putting yourself out there when you're mediocre, when you're not good, when things aren't great, but you still do it. I could not do this work. I've been working on this for 8, 10 plus years. I got thousands of hours of things that I've recorded that are online publicly for you to see the person that you see today, not the person who I have a video online of me at 18 years old when I was in high school going,
real lazy. I really prefer to be behind the camera. You know, and I had this thing, like, that guy. But over time, I continued to fall more and more in love with doing this. And so I didn't have this tool before, but 2 years ago, I learned about focusing on what I wanted. So I started speaking about coaching. I started speaking about staying home. I started speaking about being abundant. Would you have it that from 2012 through last year, I traveled 4 to 6 months out of every year. I haven't been on a plane since March, and not because you couldn't fly, because you could still fly. I don't have the excuse, well, yeah, but you didn't fly this year. No, you could still fly. But for 2 years, I stopped the focus on what I did not want. Because when I was really intense about what I didn't want, I got more of it. I got more of it than I ever got before. More debt, more travel, and more freaking video jobs. And now this is the first year that I am coaching full time. Started in April. And I made that transition. And I do not believe for 1 second that it's a coincidence of COVID or anything else. Yeah, timing certain things. But I also believe that had I not made these shifts a couple years ago to start thinking, feeling, speaking all the time and believing, right, what I spoke, what I thought, what I felt, what I believed is that I could do this work, right? Olivia, you're on here inspiring people. And you've got that fire inside of you to want to continue to impact more people's lives with your zest, with your fire. And to the degree you own that and align that and believe that and start dreaming of the place where you can do that, but really believe it. See, some of us say it. Oh, I think I can inspire so many more people. We, again, don't believe it. We don't feel that inside. We just say it. It's just verbal. Yeah, you know, it's just mouth lip service. So a lot of us say things, but we don't really believe it. And so what I've done, too, is created a gap. Now, people told me different things. This is what works for me. Whatever your dream is, if you can get really clear, I said you never will need money ever again for the rest of your life. I'll give you all the money in the world. You don't need to freaking make investments. You don't need to do nothing. You don't need to build business scale, have teams. If you want to, great. But you don't have to. You don't ever need money again. What activity would you spend your time doing? And for me, there's a number of activities, but I'd still do a lot of this. I love doing this. And so what I found is that if you can imagine for a second, you didn't need money anymore, and you could snap your fingers and be spending this amount of time this day doing this and this time doing this, and you have all your days mapped out and how much time you'd like to spend doing each and everything. So for me, I'm a pretty simple guy. I like to ride my bike, go for walks, hang out with my wife and my dog, and quite frankly do this and sometimes some stuff with some friends and family. But I'm pretty simple overall. But, like, I love doing this, but I can't do it even though I love it. I can't do it from – I'm doing it today from 7:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night. But that's not normal. I'm breaking some rules. I created them now. I can break them. But as a default, 2-3 days a week, pretty good chunks a day. So you're on a Tuesday. So usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are kind of my fuller days. But on Mondays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, they're a lot more open. And I've made that choice to have that. That's my recharging. That's do some other things. And so – what you want and being clear about it, and then creating a gap. I had a videographer the other day, and he wanted to have a video production company. And right now, it didn't look realistic at all. And I said, do you think you could have a $200,000 video production company in the next 3 weeks? He's like, no. 8 months, no. About 2 years, no. About 4 years, maybe. What about 8 years? Yeah. And so that now takes something that most people try to 100K in 6 weeks and this and that, all these crazy things that I'm not saying they're impossible, but for most people they're improbable. To the degree they're improbable or in their mind impossible is where the belief starts to go, you can't do that. If you can't do it, then you can't. You're right. And you won't take the necessary actions because there's this pessimism inside, this disbelief in oneself. And when you tell your brain it's not possible, you won't take much action. Talk about massive imperfect action. And so massive imperfect action is something that when you're clear and confident in a direction and you believe it's possible, you'll start doing things in a more impactful way than like, oh, let me just dip. And I got it, didn't work. See, told you. And then you stop. Right? How many people have lost all the trust in themselves? They no longer take action in general. They just move and waddle. And they feel after doing something, they're busy and they learn all day and they think all day, but they never actually make progress. We don't move. It's like our car is in the driveway, floor to the ground, revving up, but it's in park. It's not going anywhere, but you're frustrated because you're boring. It's not moving. So you're frustrated because you've learned from people like Aaliyah, myself tonight, and anyone else you've ever been inspired by, preachers, whomever, they fire you up inside. But there's something missing between the fire that's there and the results that are in your life, the money that's in your bank account, right, the career that you have. Something's wrong between the fire that you get excited about when you go to church on Sunday and the preacher's got you going, hallelujah, amen, right? And you're like, all right, here we go, right? And whatever version of that you've got, I got that too. It's first. We get fired up. You get fired up tonight. But does that fire die the next day? Because at the end of the day, this belief in self and this alignment that you could do anything is or isn't there. So if you can make a gap and say, could I do that 5 years ago? What I could. And now all of a sudden, what I found isn't the right people, the right connections, the right collaborations, the right everything start to fall into place. You tell God, the universe, or whatever you believe, you believe it's possible. See, we get a little bit of everything because we're not clear on what we want. The old Alice in Wonderland was that idea of, you know, the cat just starts counting which way I want to go. I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter where you go. Because the reality is, you don't know, and it doesn't matter. Take down any path. If you knew where I wanted to go, then that was different. That would be different. Too many of us have no clue where we want to go. And if we get clear on where we want to go and declare it, I had a buddy of mine, I know Devon for about 5 years now. And I always asked, what would you do if you didn't need money? And he used to say, editing, editing. He always had a job. He was a 911 operator. Always had a job. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. Wasn't what he wanted to do. Paid his bills. Was content. He was certain. But wanted to have this production company. But yet the thing was, is he really didn't love selling. He really didn't love shooting. He liked it. He didn't hate it. But he was having to find jobs, negotiate the jobs, sell the jobs, schedule the jobs, shoot the jobs. And then finally, after all that, he gets to edit. He first had a job that drained him. Then he had to go do all this other stuff he didn't like to finally end up in a place where he could edit. Well, last year, he sends me a message back in about August, and he says, I'm believing in me, man. You've believed in me, and I'm declaring I am an editor. And no joke, within 2 months, a few of his friends connected him. He had two job opportunities for editing positions. He ended up getting one, and he was assistant editor on a Netflix documentary series called High Score. It just came out a few months ago. And he had something else that just came out. I think it was on the BLM movement that was essentially on HBO that just came out as well. He's assistant editor. And this was this declaration, I am an editor. He had spent 6, 7, 8 years learning editing, but thinking it needed to be a different way, and that it couldn't just be editing. I'll never forget the first day he quit his job. He goes, this must what be it feels like to never work a day in your life. Because he showed up at that job, and all he had to do was edit. Whereas for years, he was trying to do all this other stuff. So what is that for you right now? If you could dream that you could just show up and do blank, what would that be? And would you be employed somewhere? That's not a bad thing. He made more money than ever made in his life, employed somewhere, getting to do his thing and getting to tell stories that were passionate in his heart that he wanted to make sure got out in the world. But it was that belief in himself, that trust and faith in himself, and that I'm an editor, I can do this. So what is that for you? The speaker, are you a writer? Are you a designer? Are you an artist? You know, when you can own that, declare it, and then start to really go towards it, because now you believe, I can do this. I can be with the greatest. I can be with the best. But too many of us, I had a gal earlier I was just on. She was from France. And everything she said, there was, when you talk about language, everything was limited. Well, you know, I'm really shy. You know, and I, there's something special about you influencers or you YouTubers and these things. You know, I just could never do that. And so these words right there, I could never do that. I'm just so shy. It's not possible for me. Putting the people that you look up to on some kind of pedestal as if they got some superpowers. The two of us right now have some superpower. Please, if you go to the mindmechanic.net, click about Gibbs. At the bottom of that page, there's a video. That video has the 18, 24, 28-year-old version of me. And so you can see me on camera, not me kind of making fun of myself at 18 years old, but you can see me and you can see that transition. I was not who I am today. So whoever you are today, that's your reality. But that is not your future. See, right now, your future can be gloom and doom, or it can be super exciting. The problem is a lot of our world defaults to the negative. Why are you doing that? Don't get your hopes up. Don't dream. Don't do this. Why? You know, the problem is with that is that neither are right nor wrong. Neither are right in general. See, the thing is, you believe you're going to have a gloom and doom future, and you're still going to be on, you know, whatever, whether it's you know, unemployment potentially, you're barely getting by, you're living with your parents, whatever that version is, could still be a reality 5 years from now. If you believe that's just, I'm just one of these people that I'm not like them, right? I don't have that. The power of the word that we're talking about is when you say that, when you declare that, that will be what your bias is on your brain, and you continue to affirm that. So you might be living on somebody's couch right now. That's your reality. But to the ability to see a different future for yourself when no one else can. Let me give a quick story real quick that I think might be helpful to those listening. You know, I realized that when it comes to coaching and whatnot at times, and this was something for me, is that the things we want to coach people on are typically the thing we either are or have struggled with. So we're either struggling with it or we have struggled with it. The reason we can see certain things so well in others is because we know it so intimately. And typically then what we're telling others is really what we first should hear for ourselves, because it might be great advice. We need to stop pointing the finger at these other people. They're like, they need to change this and do that and do that, because you need to do it. And the results you'll get in others' lives will be in proportion to the results that you first get for yourself. And so what I found is a lot of people can't achieve the impossible because they can't see the invisible. So there's things they can't see. But all of you, what would you have? Well, let me rephrase this for a second. So I had a conversation with my mom once this year that was right before Mother's Day. And she said something to me about filming weddings. And I haven't filmed the weddings in 6 years. But she's always said this thing, man, well, you can pay some more debt down, do this. It's really easy for you, you know. You know, just do a few $1,000s, do a few of them, you know, because I did really well in weddings. Well, it was my last straw. There was a whole conversation that needed to be had that was being delayed for a long time. But what happened was is that I said, Mom, you believe in me. I knew she did. I'm blessed with that. My parents do believe. That doesn't mean I'm not misunderstood. Big difference. And so what happened was, she says, yeah. I said, well, every time that you tell me to go shoot weddings, you're telling me you don't believe in me. You don't believe in the path that I'm currently on. I said, you believe in God, don't you? Goes to church every weekend. She said, yeah. I said, so what do you have? Anybody's in the chat? No, if Keontae's still on here, what do you have? You believe in something you cannot see or haven't seen, but you believe it. I'm going to type that in now. She's still on there. She was on there just a few minutes ago. What word? I'll make it quick if you're still there. It starts with an S. Aaliyah, what word is it if we can't get it in the chat right now?
It would definitely be faith.
Faith, right. My mom said that, faith. And I said, right. And I said, there is a faith and belief I have in the future that no one else can see but me. And it's exactly what I'm instilling in all those people who have had somebody, even unintentionally, squash that out of them. Okay, that's not possible. You can't do that. That's not realistic. Don't get your hopes up. You know, all these kinds of things. So I had this, there was a lot more. It was a 3-hour conversation, a lot more to it. But that was one part of it. Does she believe in me? Telling her when she says shoot weddings, she doesn't believe, because what she could see was the success I had with the past. I already had this thing that worked. That was clear. She could see it. She could touch it, feel it in her mind, all that. But this amorphous speaking, coaching thing, that wasn't panning out quite yet, you know, on certain levels financially. She's like, but once I said, I have faith, the same way you have faith in God. I have faith in self. I have faith in God as well. You know, I have faith that this will work out. And you got to have faith too. And she's never, my relationship with my wife and my mom, never been the same since. And so we've got to build back up. We've got that faith in God. We've got to have our faith in self, right? It's an alignment again, that what we think, what we speak, what we feel, what we believe. Well, we also have it in God, but we got to have it in self. And if we can have both, it's game changer. It's game over. too many times we also might just believe in God, we throw it all to God, and that's fantastic. But then we also take all responsibility, and that's where I believe in that faith and that trust. But we also have to take back some. I believe this. I don't know where this will draw lines, but we have to have some faith and trust and take responsibility in self, because if we give it all up to everyone or everything else or God and take none, then we, what do? We just have to wait. And that's where some people, when it comes, I like law of attraction, God, spiritual, these things, these invisible things that we don't know. The problem is that we will sit back and only wait for signs, and we won't act. Action tells God, tells universe, tells source that you have faith and you trust yourself. See, when we're waiting for politics and, you know, all these different things in the government to do certain things, we can't control any of that. All we can control is ourselves and how we react. So just like the blockbuster, I mean, I'd be depressed my whole life if I was, you know, waiting for it to come back. And if it does someday, great, right? But that's the same thing with our dreams. If we're just going to wait for somebody to hand it to us on a silver platter, right? I love Steve Harvey's story, because you hear that, living in a car and these things, and people who are billionaires looked at him, and he had an opportunity to speak in front of him, and he said, well, why me, man? I am a billionaire. What the heck are you going to have me speak to you people, right? But they said, because you took a path that none of us have had to take. Some of us have, but not a lot of us. You lost it all and gained it all, lost it all and gained it all again. And there's something we can learn from you. So just because you haven't been a billionaire, there are things that we can learn. But that tenacity to not give up. Right, Tyler Perry, great story. What, 7 years of continuing to not, like, show up at this theater with no one to show up. Spending all his money on this. But this faith, it will work out. And every year, I guarantee he got better. Every year, he built up that trust. He built up that faith. And I think that if it were easy, that cliche, everyone would do it. I think these things are made difficult to really prove how bad somebody wants something. And so, God dang. I'm going to take a breather there for a second. What you thinking? Is that good?
Oh, awesome. I mean, my sister here, Nicole in New York, she was like, awesomeness. And I think that when you hit on that, talking about, you know, yes, we can have faith, but there, we got to have some action with our faith, you know, saying, okay, God, you've given me this path. Now,
yeah,
I got to move forth in what you're giving me. Because if I'm just sitting there twiddling my thumbs, how am I showing him that I have faith? You know?
And that's it. And so, like that declaration with the guy with the Netflix thing and the editor, that was that faith that he didn't know. Because this is the thing. We don't know. That's the key. If you can fall in love with uncertainty and realize our world is uncertain, everything is uncertain. There is nothing more guaranteed than the seconds we're on this session right now of speaking to each other, right? Nothing beyond this. But we usually have this backpack of the past on of all, every time something doesn't work out for us, we throw it in the back. It's like, see, that didn't work out for you. See, you can't do that. See, you're worthless. See, blah, blah, blah. If we can start to let that go and realize that whatever happened, happened, can't change it. Right. And so sometimes you learn something new and you're like, I wouldn't be in debt if I would have known that 8 years ago. But you didn't. Somebody used to ask me, well, not somebody, lots of people, what would you do if you go back and tell your 20-year-old self something? He used to have all this stuff. Now it's what I might tell somebody of today. I'd say, tell them nothing, nada, nothing. Because if I changed anything, I'd change everything. If I changed anything, I would change everything. So I wouldn't be able to tell the stories I have today if I didn't have what had happened. Now, too many times, we gloom and doom ourselves into, like, I'm getting too old now. I can't do this. You know, I had the gal today. Said, well, the age I'm at and the profession and da-da-da, I can't do it. I can't do what I love. I said, you can't. You're right. But you're also wrong. Because that's that power of words again. If we really say I'm too old and where I live and this and that, it won't happen. And so it's that faith to be able to not know how, not know the details, and know that it is uncertain. It's again back to that faith, because you believe it can happen and you know all the right things will fall into place in the right order if you just trust. But you got to take action. Again, if we just sit back waiting for all the things to fall into place, all the things we learn in the books and the Bible and everywhere, courses and trainings and PhDs and all this, a lot of people intellectually get things, but they're so fearful to act. And a lot of it's because I just did a call with a guy today. Well, I don't know. There's four people in my town that do this, and I don't, should I reach out to them? And everything he said was so defaulting to lack, as if there's not enough to go around. And I believe there's enough. You talk about abundance. There's enough for all of us to go around. There's no lack. There's only lack if we believe there's lack.
Right.
And so back to those words, we've got to watch. When I say, when I hear you, I can help you, one of the things that's powerful is that I like to hear people, because when we hear those words, people call things out to me. When I had certain limiting language that I was using, I would have people that would say, Gebs, in the last 30 minutes, you've said X 8 times. I'm like, oh my gosh. And now when I had that awareness brought to me of certain words or things I was saying, every time it happened, I had an awareness. When I had that awareness, I could do something about it. So when you got that Jiminy Cricket on your shoulders that says, you're stupid, you can't do that, you're not smart, you'll never make it, only your sister got it, da-da-da-da-da, your brother, your uncle, you know, whatever. You got to start quieting that. Doesn't mean he goes away or she goes away, but you can stop listening. You say, hey, whoa, hold on, you're wrong. And then now all of a sudden you got the whoever's on the other side, whatever you want to name that person, and that person says, you can do this, right? You got this. You start using empowering language. You start focusing on what you want. And then before you know it, whether it's 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, your life looks completely and entirely different than it used to. And you're in a place where people go, holy, how in the world did you get there? Right? Defied the odds. And I believe that we all have that ability to do it. The problem is we see people on things like this and YouTube and everywhere else, and we think there's something special about them. Thing is, everybody's got special in them. It's just, do you believe it or not? And I think for a long time, even I know I, like, people tell me I have the special, but I didn't believe the special. And so in business, if many of people are listening, want to be entrepreneurial, we've got to have that belief and that alignment and that belief and that faith that we can do it. Now, in the beginning, there's going to be a gap between what you see in the world and what you put out. Right? Go watch that video. Me at 18 was not articulate like this, right? Couldn't flow. Man, it'd take me, what I say in 30 seconds would take me 10 minutes probably to say, because I spoke so slow and ums and ahs, and I, you know, I'm all sorts of confused. But I kept with it. I still was able to succeed because I had a drive and a tenacity. I wasn't trying to be a public speaker or anything back then, or coach people. I was just doing video. But even then, I started somewhere, $500. I was in 2000, first wedding was in 2005. Up through 2010, 5 years in the business. Never had projects more than a couple thousand dollars. 2011, things took off more. 2012, we had a $100,000 plus contract that we got for video production.
Wow.
So, 6-7 years in. I still live in a town in the Midwest with 26,000 people. I've lived here my whole entire life near St. Louis, Missouri. And like people tell me they live in a town of 80,000 people and they can't make things happen. It ain't the problem with it, it ain't the town. That's the thing. We want to blame everybody else. When people say, man, people don't take me seriously. People don't see my value. People just see me as a hobbyist. We want to say people, them. I had this last year where somebody said this to me, and they would catch everybody in these coaching sessions, they would catch when they did things like that. And it's just stop. Now, initially, this may seem disempowering, but it's super empowering when you go full circle with it, which is to stop saying, people and them and they and others don't believe in me, and they don't see my value. They just see me as a hobbyist. They don't take me seriously. Stop and go, I don't believe in me. I don't take myself seriously. I'm just a hobbyist. Because now you can take ownership of that, because now you don't need them to change. And the reason you don't believe in yourself is why most, unfortunately, there's not a lot of super people like Aaliyah and me in everybody's life. And they don't have people lifting them up and uplifting them and encouraging them, unfortunately. So there's a lot of discouragement in this world. So that's why people don't go for the dreams, because they've been smashed. Not in a negative, mean, hateful way usually, but people who already have their dreams squashed and they're just covering the bases to hope you don't feel the pain that they felt. So inadvertently, they're trying to prevent you from feeling pain when they actually care. Fortunately, it typically perpetuates the cycle of, you know, hurt and pain and resentment. And so, yeah, it's a fascinating thing though when we can start to shift that around. So, questions, thoughts? Anything in there? If
Minister Costa said we can have faith, but you have to act.
Yeah,
there's been some action behind that faith. So definitely.
Beautiful.
Yes. You said something a moment ago about believing in self. And I think so many times people, when things get hard, they kind of just say, well, you know what, I can't do this. But
okay.
God shifted me back to South Carolina a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I live in a rural area, okay? So I have like, the internet is like modern-day dial-up. That's what I call it, modern-day dial-up, okay? So, like, right now, I'm at my uncle's house and not at my church studio, but I'm at my uncle's house.
Oh, wow.
that's how rural it is. But you have to have, when I know that tomorrow is my 6-year anniversary of an assignment that God said do, I take all the excuses out. So I've been for 18 months now doing exactly this, going and continuing to do it now. I got to continue to pursue and push the books and stuff. But I have people because here's the thing, Mike. God showed me a vision, right? And he said that people who were, like, about to give up, they were just, like, feeling like they were walking dead. He said that the mind mechanic would be here and the purpose midwife would be here. And we would ignite that, and we would take the shackles off of them. We would, like, help them out. And then for those who are already walking in their purpose, it was like putting gasoline or kerosene on that fire all over again. But it was like for those people in the Bible itself, it was like the analogy of you and I being Mary and them being Elizabeth and the baby just sleeping. And so that's what I remember every time I have a day where I'm like, ooh. But even when it's time for the show, I get it. It's like I get this super, I want to have others to do the same thing. I want them to find what is it in life that keeps you in that place of you can have had the worst day, but when you do what you love, there's an instantaneous fire that's reignited all over again. I want to help someone find that. You know? No excuses. Eliminate all the excuses.
Yeah, and there's lots we can have. I've had lots of them myself. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's the thing too, right? We've got to bring that human element. I think if you can recognize that's the element I'm trying to bring is to make sure that people don't just view me as that unicorn. That's why I love that I have that video where I can go when I was 18, because I think that too many times we see people, when you finally are hearing about somebody everywhere, they're rocking and rolling and kicking at all cylinders, and they're in this amazing spot, and then they're just telling the story of the past. Mm-hmm. And that's great, and that can inspire, and you can get emotional about it. But at times, we've got to really be able to sometimes show if we can. That's why all of you, this idea of being able to document your journeys right now, guy today, he said, he heard this thing about fake it till you make it. I said, you know what, I resonate with that. It's very inauthentic to me. It's like telling somebody you're amazing at something you're not. That's just a lie, in my opinion. I mean, some people resonate with that, and that works for them. But for me, it's just something I've tried, and I felt like an imposter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of where I was at relative to where I'm trying to appear where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all at a place where you're somewhere that you could still inspire someone
mm-hmm.
who is – I hate to say it this way, but is it a lower place than you right now? Right? And every step of the way, there's going to be somebody that you lift up to where you're at. Now you're somewhere else, and that person can do the person. And when this comes like ladder effect, it has that ability. Every level we can keep growing, and there's different people that'll come and go. Somebody's going to stay with you forever. Right? I've had people that literally still follow me and leave comments on things. I shot their wedding in 2009. They booked me for their wedding. They did some coaching with me. They'd come to things. They'd buy underwear from me if I sold them. I believe that. Right? So there's some of those people. They just follow along because they love you. But some people, you know, they're in there for a season, a reason. You know, they come and they go. Whoever that is. It's not always professional. It's personal. Like, there's different things. But people come and go. Sometimes we got to accept that.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, it's interesting. The one thing I would say to you that's fascinating to me that I've had to recognize with this inspirational game, you said something on your call about the podcast that I'd play around with, which was my thing. I think you're ready for the more, for the bigger stage. And I think that fire in you is lit, that the thing you need to do is the same thing I'm doing. Is we can show up to our lives and our things on our fan pages and whatnot, or our friends, like I do on my Facebook and I go live. But what you saw on Samcart was my idea of right now, me and you don't work any harder, whether it's me and you talking and there's five people listening, or there's 5,000 listening. And so my mission right now, which is partly why I'm here, is to get in front of, there might be one person that hears this, that maybe resonates with me, that didn't resonate as much with you. And there's people listening to you right now that might resonate with you. Like, oh my God, I'm glad I found her. She's got that fire like him, but maybe she's more like me. I resonate with her more, right? And so for you, I would just say you've kept doing what you're doing and you're getting what you're getting. But that idea of where can you go now and be bold, to step up into that power that you have to put yourself in front of more people, because you deserve to be there. And you can light a fire just as good and better as anybody who's already on these stages. But you'll be a different voice that'll resonate in a different way with your story and who you are. And I think you're ready for that. I mean, that's my little mind mechanic for you. And I heard some of those things. I think that when you say you still did that little people phrase, people when they're about to give up and this and that, I would gamble there's a version of that. That was you. There was a version of that giving up. And so you've come through that in a lot of ways, and you felt the pain and you felt the other side. And you don't want people to suffer. That's what helpers, light workers, whatever, you know, servants that we want to give it, that's what we're here. We felt the darkness. We felt the pain. I did this little thing. I'm going to read this to you real quick. Guy had his like picture thing on. I don't play this game too often, but I did yesterday. And it's like, it's got this thing. I don't know if you can see it, if it'll focus. Not really. Anyways, can't quite make it out. But can't quite make it out when you're looking at it. But it's got these animal outlines. It says, what's the first thing you see? I saw an elephant. It says, Michael saw an elephant first. He's stubborn. Michael has a heart like wildfire, all passion, courage, and strength. He can't be stopped when he believes in something and sets his heart on it. He's faced nightmares as dark as midnight, but it was never enough to break him down. Michael is a leader with a soul filled with compassion and kindness. He doesn't see the world the same way others do, which I really resonate with that. But exactly that is his advantage. And so I believe you've had a darkness, I'm sure, in your life that you know that others are feeling, and you know you have a way to help them not feel that anymore. And so it's time to get in those bigger places, to continue to put yourself in front of more people so more people can hear your message and you can give them the courage to get out of that darkness, to see that light, and for them to be a light for someone else. And more of us have to get that courage, which is inside of all of us, that fire that's inside of all of us, because right now in this world, more people need to shine bright. Me and you and all those like us need to band together and need to get out there and speak words of positivity, words of hope, right? That we can get through this. You are alive right now. You've made it through an insane year. If you're right here in some way, shape, or form, God forbid there's no, you're not in a hospital bed or anything right now, but gosh dang, change that mindset. Until you're gone, you're not gone. There are miracle after miracle every single day of people who, I had a lady, 30 days, count, you know, pack your bags, you will be gone in 30 days. 40 years ago, got to meet this woman. Powerful woman. She says, I'm not going down. It ain't over till it's over. And that's that power of that mind. Because some people are told they got 4 weeks to live and they say, well, I guess I'm done. And 4 weeks, 5 weeks later, they ain't here with us no more. And that's sad. And so, and now you get me to see the power of the internet right now. You get emotional. I'm freaking going to have something trigger you there. And I don't know. I can feel it. I'm an empath. So I feel that thing right through this freaking computer screen. You want to share what that is for a second? I'll stop. Are you wanting to share? Is there something there? You got a little emotional there for a second. Was there something?
No, I was fixing my.
Okay.
But really, I mean, when you're really spot on talking about, you know, the dark places of helping people, because when you've been through toxic situations, and lost all of your loved ones, you're like, okay, somebody else is, you know, somebody else is stuck. And they feel like, well, mama's gone, daddy's gone. Sister's gone, brother's gone. Well, I'm an only child, so. So for that person that says, what do I do now? You know, where do I go from here? And so I want to be able to help that person to say, hey, life is still here for you, you know?
So there is something there. I don't think you were just fixing your mascara.
I wasn't until I continued to until I started expounding upon, because that's my heart, to
yeah,
be able to help other people's hearts.
I know. I could feel that. That's why I knew there was something there before you probably felt it.
I know, right?
And it's powerful. And I, you know, I haven't known you that long. I don't know what you share on all these things, but I believe that the more you root into that feeling right there that you have right now, that'll give you that courage, that extra courage to continue to tell your story, and share the full depth of that story and that pain and that darkness that you felt, because people will relate. I believe in you, right? And I know that so many people need you, because right now you put on that, I've done that. And I'm sure you're doing this right now, because in 2018, I had 5,000 gallons of water behind my eyes. That always was a pressure, and I didn't release it. I had a buddy pass away in 2007. Now you're going to give me, because I want to tell a story, but his name was Andy Man. He used to babysit me, and he came in every day. He started my company with me. And one day, we joke, people help me out. He would say he's going to go walk the dogs. But walk the dogs, full transparency, was code for going to smoke weed. I don't do any of that or didn't drink anything, but he'd go walk his dogs. He'd be gone for 4 hours. And so he'd say, I'll be in tomorrow morning. He wouldn't show up. He wouldn't show up today. So this one day he leaves and says, I'll see you tomorrow morning. He doesn't show up. And at 9 o'clock at night, my buddy, who was his cousin who worked with me, called me and said, you know, I think Andrew's passed away. And, you know, he was 25 years old, and my little dog upstairs, he was born on his birthday. And he's been, you know, had some lumps on his neck and different things. And he's a fighter. He's named after Jack Bauer. He's named Bauer from 24, the TV show. But my buddy died of a heart attack. He was a big 300-pound guy. My little dog was born on his birthday, and he's 5 pounds. So I think he reincarnated. But the thing was, that guy had a heart of gold, and he would help you. He'd drive across the country to do something for somebody. And he taught me that no matter what, you go after what you love. But there was a time where I then shut all that down. That's why I talk about this emotion on this call today, because that time where I shut all that down, I shut all that emotion. And then I had this happy-go-lucky, and every soul on earth just thought that I was smiley, thumbs up. Because I've been that my whole life, but there's a congruence with it now where what you're seeing is what you're getting, and there's still some difficulties here and there, but I'm not having this blowing up welts behind my eyes. I feel like I need to cry all the time, and there's this emotion that I just keep suppressing. And I did that for a long time, and that release of that, and the more I share the fullness of the story, the more people relate, right? That's when you're on that call you were on. This is the authenticity, just pouring into the people, this realness, this just showing that things aren't perfect, that people struggle, that there's difficulty, that there's lots of people telling different people different things and different opinions, but sharing it in a way where, who is this guy? But who is this guy? That's what I could think, because what I found in video, the person who went from small town, small job, to big towns, big jobs, let's just put it that way, there was no different external. I didn't move. I didn't get a different vehicle. I didn't have anything external. My work didn't get better, different cameras, different technology, different tactics. This guy right here in my head showed up different. And I spoke different. When I did my same day edits, people would say, well, why would we want to do that? Wouldn't it be better if you had more than 2 hours to make the video? And the old uncertain, unconfident me would be like, well, maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe I need 8 hours. And so they wouldn't pay me most of the time to do that. And then finally, I made this my way decision. I said, I'm going to edit, dress, shoot, speak, everything my way. I eliminated all that I didn't like. People, because here's the thing. The question didn't go away. People doubting you. The greatest of the greats you look up to still get doubted on some level. They don't walk on water always. There's still people to question them. They got a movie idea. That's stupid. You shouldn't do that. You know, that's the bigger risk. Even for people, the biggest of the biggest still get told, you're not making that movie. That's not possible. So these things don't go away, but they defy the odds. So when I got asked that question, wouldn't it be better if you had more than 2 hours? Why would we want to do that? The old me would be like, maybe. Well, they wouldn't pay me because I'm basically telling them I'm not going to do my best work. Why would they pay extra if I'm telling them it'll be better if I take longer? In shorter words, that's what I'm saying. But when I said, you know what? I can't speak for other people. It may take them 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years to put together their best work. But the work you see, the work you coming to me for, and you like me and you want to hire me, that is how I make my best work. 2-3 hours. I can't explain why, but that pressure, all the people, everything there, after all the years of everything I've done, that is how I show up and do my best work. When I do a same day edit. And that conviction is the same conviction we took to Robbins, we took to Lewis Howes, Pat Flynn, all these online marketers that I ended up working with. That certainty and conviction, this is the style of work I do. This is my sweet spot. This is my zone of genius. And if you want something else outside of that, it's not your guy. I didn't just say yes to everything. So in coaching, I have a sweet spot now that just a year ago, I still didn't know nor believe. And then my wife called me on June 17th at 12:15 on a Wednesday when we were getting lunch on George Street. And I said, honey, I think this thing, I want you to guess. And usually sometimes people go, I don't want to guess, just tell me. This day she looked at me and she said, mind mechanic. Just like that, boom, mind mechanic. I started beating on the steering wheel. I'm like, oh my God, that is it. And like, it just hit me and everything. When you show up, different people show up.
True.
So I got on a Facebook Live 2 days later. A man named Steve Hardison, he charges $150,000 to coach. You have to fly to Mayors, Arizona, 2 hours at a time. That's it. No podcast, no book, no blog, no videos, not been on news interviews, nothing. Been doing it for 30 years. So I got to meet that guy in January for 15 minutes. On June 19th on a Friday, after my wife called me the mind mechanic, and I felt completely different. Nothing else changed. I didn't change where I live, what I'm wearing, what I look like, nothing. But I showed up different. And so I got on that Facebook Live titled, I don't know. Within 5 minutes, Steve Hardison is watching. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Oh, Steve Hardison. Everybody, this is, I start telling the story of how I met him, what happened, the experience, and all this stuff. He's on Awesome Man. I'm like, is he still on here? I thought he was going to leave in like 2 seconds. This guy's like basically like freaking $2,500 an hour to talk to him. You know, the minimum thing he has is $5,000 for 2 hours. It's called a Be With session. $5,000 for 2 hours. And this guy has people lined up to be able to work with him. So here's what happens. He's on here for not 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. He's on this live for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. He gets off the live and he starts tagging people. Now I've looked enough into this guy. These were people who were his clients. He's tagging to look at this Facebook Live. And then he tags me and says, if you want to work with a coach who understands presence, work with Michael Gebbin, the mind mechanic. So get underneath your hood, fix up your carburetor. 2 days, 2 days after my wife called me, one of the top coaches in the world who charges more money than 99% of coaches out there, says, I haven't even spent money to coach with him yet. He met me one time for 15 minutes and said, you're special. There's something unique about you. I don't do this with everybody. That was a trigger. My wife called me mind mechanic. Showing up. Man, I don't know. Because, see, I want certainty when I get people. What results are you going to have? Olivia, how are you going to help me? How are you going to inspire me? How are you going to inspire my audience? Right? These people say these things. And what I used to want is a clear answer. Why, wouldn't your video be better if you had more than 2 hours? The reality is it was always I don't know, except that a weak I don't know and a powerful I don't know. That I don't know on that June 19th was a powerful I don't know. What are you going to do when you work with the mind mechanic? What results am I going to get? I don't know, but here's what I can tell you. I do know I will bring you every ounce of me that I can to the conversation. I will see you and hear you like you've never been heard before, and I will help you like you've never been helped before. And I will be able to dig in ways and get you to think of things in a way, just like tonight. Right, that ability to trigger something that I guarantee ignited something in you that has been there simmering. You already got fire, girl. right? I knew that the second I met you. But there's something else that just happened that you sink your teeth into, that smile, that emotion, that little bit of release, maybe you get off here when we're done and you really let it freaking flow. And you come, you get that makeup all messed up and everything else. And then you get out there in a way like you've never got out there before. And opportunities will show up in your life to speak in front of people that you only dreamed about. Because right now you're showing up on your Monday night, Tuesday night, firing up to your audience here, but you have a bigger group of people. You can put them here. You can bring them back there. But there's more people that you're going to get in front of. Just like I got in front of those 80 people with the stand part that you were on, that's just the beginning. Right? But that belief and faith that I can continue to make an impact, just like anybody who a year ago I thought, whoever you want to look up to, it doesn't matter. When plug in whoever, I can't compete with them. Your greatest preacher you like, whoever it is, who is it? God, there's one guy, man. Big black man. He's
Les,
got a
voice. Les Brown. Les Brown.
Is it Dr. Brown?
Les Brown.
Well, Les Brown, he's a motivational speaker. This guy's a preacher.
The preacher.
He's TJ, is it TJ something?
He's talking about Eric Thomas.
Not Eric Thomas either. Oh, man, is anybody in the chat? What's this guy's name? I'm going to find him real quick on YouTube. This guy is a firecracker. And he's got this super emotional story of this gal that, preacher TJ. I mean, hold on one second here. Let's hang on for one second.
You talking about TDJ?
TDJ, that's it.
TDJ. Okay, thank you,
Minister Carlson.
You're talking about
TDJ. TDJ, there we go. TDJ, man, he got this story. He got fire more than anybody I've ever seen, man. He's got this story he tells with the I'm bad with all these names, but there's a story that he tells that's super emotional. He gets super emotional in the video of somebody when he was down in the depths and he didn't have time. He got done with this sermon. He was going to leave, and this lady said some things, and she was in a dark spot. And then years later, she came and was like, do you remember me? And then, you know, she's like, that moment that you spent with me changed my life forever. And that changed his life forever. And I believe that someone like yourself has that ability to do the same thing, just like he does. He's not any more special than you. And that's what I've had to own into, because to the degree we look up to someone and not at someone, means that we see things in them that we believe we don't possess. If we look at someone, that means we see them as an equal, not as an above. Or we can look down. That's the worst you could probably do, is look down at people. But to look up means you see things, confidence, clarity, a business, whatever, that you wish they had, wish you had. So that's the trigger to realize, if you look up rather than at, they've got something that you want. And as soon as you can believe you got it too, and you look at them, and if you were to meet them, it's not like, oh my gosh, versus some special person, versus like, oh my gosh, it is an honor. And you see them as an equal, and you talk to them as an equal. You talk to them as a powerful person, just like they are, because just like you are. And I believe that. But all of us have to start somewhere. So to have that kind of clarity and certainty and conviction has to have you still showing up, taking action, each and every single day, on this thing that is inside of you. God give a gift, talent, calling, whatever it is. This worked for me. I can't explain. I cannot shake it. And I've stopped trying. And so for some of you, and for you, Aaliyah, there is stuff inside you cannot shake. Stop trying to shake it. Accept it. Work towards it. And every single day, show up. Even when up front, which quite frankly, I know I've done a lot of that, man, showing up to one, two people. You know, I love, it don't need to be 1,000. But when I'm doing this, might as well be, right? That's how I look at it. Because we ain't working no harder whether it's 1,000 or it's just me, you talking.
Right.
And so for me, that ability to get this message in front of more people is a powerful thing. Because there's so many people that they don't resonate. Les Brown was the man who said 5 people could talk to one person and say the same thing. And only one of them gets through to them. Because of their presence, the way they say it, the way they articulate it, et cetera, et cetera. But the same words could be spoken. So there is a way you will speak to people like no one else. You will resonate with people that I cannot resonate with because of your story, because of your background, because of your darkness, because of your light. And that's a powerful thing to own. But when you're going to be able to look that person and look at them rather than up to them is when you've gone and walked the path, the difficult path of learning and growing and having nobody show up maybe no comments, no interaction, no shares, no whatever. I've done many a live, many a video, many a thing that didn't get any engagement. And I'll tell you what, it ate me up inside. I'm not going to lie. Like, there was elements of that for a while that's like, what am I doing? That's why now, right now in this, I don't care what comes out of any other person other than yourself seeing this right now. Because right now I know I'm talking to you. That's it. And I know that you're shaking your head, you've cried, got emotional, you're smiling, you're laughing. So it doesn't matter. So I've made sure to create content now that always keeps me in connection. I don't like creating in isolation. Because if I create in isolation, I need, Michael needs, the likes, the shares, the comments, the interactions, because they ain't getting it. Why did I just talk to my computer for 5.5 hours or an hour or this or that? Ain't nobody going to watch it. Maybe I learned something, but I would rather be talking to a human being and tuning up. I always say this, tuning up hearts and minds one at a time so your ideas don't die in your hard head or hard drive. Too many people are super talented, and their freaking ideas are dying on their computers, right? They're even loading things. They're doing, like I'm telling you, doing stuff to make sure more eyeballs get in front of them. Because we can show up every day and do a live or do a video or make a post or put videos on YouTube. But the problem is, if we don't do things to make sure it gets seen, then we have this false sense of accomplishment when in fact we are doing something, but to the degree that we can then get it in front of more people is where it then makes the big impact. So, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You know, one thing I loved about you from meeting you last week was your transparency. I just really, really, and that's one of the things, I'm transparent here. And they know that. They know I'm a big crybaby. They're used to that. They're used to that because I'm emotional about helping people. I'm emotional about people getting out of that place of, you know, well, I don't think, you know, especially women. Women, they hit a certain age. I'm like, but I don't know. No. We're not negating it didn't happen, but let's move forward, you know. Yes. So I appreciate you, your transparency. Even on the last week, I was laughing because I'm like, he's so real.
Well, I'm tired of it. That's why I said there's room for tons like us, like me, like you, because I'm being what I couldn't find. I don't find a lot of it. Right. I mean, there is real out there, there's no doubt, but there's also a lot of stuff. And part of it is I was jaded because I filmed in the industry and I saw people or what you saw is what you got. And unfortunately, I saw a lot that what you saw wasn't what you got. So what people were seeing on stage, seeing on live, seeing in public was not what I saw when the cameras weren't on them. And the things that were said, and I can't unsee and I can't unhear, but I know that it's there, and I know where my heart is, and know where my intent is, and I know that this year has taught me that one thing, is that people will judge you, people will question you, and people will make you question yourself. But something I've been saying recently, I say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. A lot of people can say, well, words have definitely hurt me. My mama said this to me, and look at where I'm at, you know? And these words were spoken. Here's the difference. For any, God forbid, anybody's out there is actually being physically abused and, like, beaten or hit, you're not kumbaya on your way to, like, that doesn't hurt. Hey, I'm fine. You're not using words and language to be like, I'm good. It doesn't hurt. And, you know, somebody gets in a bad car accident, freaking going real morbid, but their arm gets cut. They're not going to go, oh, my, there's nothing wrong. It's all good. I'm good. Can't do that. But words, we allow those to infiltrate or not. We don't have to. And so I'm rooting for a second to make sure it's appropriate to tell the story I'm going to tell you real quick to maybe end on.
Absolutely, Roberta. Roberta said, be real, your authentic self, regardless of judgment. That's right. Be your authentic self.
So that probably gives me a single sign there. So, you know, COVID's happened this year, and there's things with masks and all that. I'm not going to get political here or anything, but there's lots that's happened, and all the things that happened, the president, everything else. There's just a lot of polar happening, people sitting on extremes of sides. And when the BLM movement ignited this year, I had things I was seeing on my feed and I didn't know what to do. I wanted to inspire. I just wanted to help. I've always had all sorts of, I mean, here we are.
Call it what it is, say to say, black, white. It is what it is, right? I've always attracted all types of people, whether they're gay, whether they're black, all types of people. I've seen things, and I started questioning, heart, my intent.
People saying, a lot of white people saying, don't talk to your black friends. That's what I'm saying. You're racist. You're this. And so I start questioning. Oh, my gosh. And I said, don't call him. And I thought, well, what is going on here? And so against some of the judgment I saw, I called some of my friends, and I did feel disgusting. We're black friends. And I had three conversations. First one, incredible. It was real weird and awkward when it started. I'm not going to lie. She felt the same way. I didn't know what to say. But there were things that she posted. I thought, I'm going to talk to her because she doesn't seem to be aligning with what I'm seeing. So confused right now. I don't even know how to speak up because I feel if I speak up, they're going to tear me down. I'm going to say the wrong thing. If I don't speak up, I'm doing the wrong thing. It don't matter what I do. I'm cursed either way. And so I had this conversation. And then she posted. She's like, if more of my white friends would call their black friends, we'd have a better space. She felt like, man, this was a powerful conversation I had. He wanted to understand. Second conversation went about 80% that way. Still a little bit like, nah. I don't know if you should have fully done this. Third conversation was like, Gebs, I know where your heart is. I think you should stop doing this. But I saw three people with completely differing views. And what I realized in that moment, whether it's BLM or anything else in between, politics, people have religion, people have opinions. And when I said I'm judgment for anybody's religion or anything else, what I don't like is when people look down upon somebody for not doing what they do as they do. Because the God I believe in doesn't judge, only loves. And so to the degree that we judge people is what I believe the problem is on this planet, is that we see people for their color, for their this, for their that, and we see them as less than. We see people who aren't wearing masks or wearing masks, and we judge them. We see people who believe this or don't believe it, we judge them. And I realized this year that I was allowing myself to show up or not show up as my authentic self based on what I was allowing others to still infiltrate my mind and make me believe where my heart is. And I realized no one knows where my heart is but me. No one knows where my intent is but me. And so if you're going to judge me based on whatever the heck you're making assumptions about, that is not me. And what we've talked about this entire time is there's friends, there's family members, and there's people who are going to judge your dreams. That's on them, not on you. And you can allow yourself to receive that and infiltrate your mind and have it negatively affect you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your opinion. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do me. And I found that I didn't want to go back and did what I did in the summer. But those difficult things have to happen sometimes. Against my judgment, my heart felt I needed to do it. Against whatever. I got three different things that happened, which proved to me that there's people saying, don't do this and don't do that. You know, everybody feels – and when I started to observe all sides of everything with COVID, with the politics, BLM, everything that's happened this year that came out guns a-blazing all over, everybody's fires, this and that, is that we are divided, unfortunately. Are divided, but freaking most of the time, somebody told me this in certain situations, but not too many times do you see firefighters show up to a house burning down with flamethrowers. A little crazy, right? They take water. And I think there are times where maybe, somebody's beating you up, you'll go, please don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. You know, there might be, you might have to fight. I get it. But there's a lot of times you don't need to. Online, all the hatred, you know, all the fighting somebody. What I've learned is we can't change people's minds by forcing them to change their mind, by attacking them, by fighting them. We change their mind. The way you will inspire, the way I've gotten more results with people in the last 6 months, in the last 6 years, is because we have to lead by example. And too many times we're incongruent with that. And so we're fighting people and we're hating on the same people who we think are nasty people and mean people, but we're being equally as nasty as they are. And so I know that there are people who are going to attack people. You're going to be judged. You're going to be saying you can't do that. But you can allow that to infiltrate or not. You can't stop abuse. You can't stop physical things that happen. But the verbal, the typing, you can choose to engage or disengage. You can choose to allow it to hurt you or allow it to be like, thank you. But I've just found that, cliche as it may be, in a lot of situations, love goes a long way. And we need a whole heck of a lot more love in this world right now. And that's why I'm grateful to be on here with you and all those who are listening that have that thing inside of you. Who can you call? Who can you love on right now? Who can you care about? Right? Because it's not about the millions. It's really about the one. And for me, all I'm trying to do is always be with the one and put it in front of more people. And there's plenty I do in private, don't get me wrong. But that idea that for me, it's always about the one. That's why I said today, I don't care who's on, who's doing whatever. Me and you rock this out. And I had a blast. And I know that no matter what, you'll go out there and the ripple effect will continue to have you inspiring and shining brighter than you've ever shined before. That's all I want. Because then if one more person shines that way, I mean, who knows where we'll be in another 30, 40, 50 years. There's my optimism coming out in a big way. But I do believe that the more of us who are more scared see the, God forbid, the president we have, it's proof that, you know, you can have all sorts of things happen and you can still become the president of the United States. So there ain't much you can do that's wrong. Right? You just got to keep moving forward. But this idea that there's too many dominant people like him who do not care what they say, have no filter. It's not judgment. I don't care whatever. I'm not getting into that. But there's too many people who have big hearts and care deeply, but they're afraid to speak up. They don't want to bother. They don't want to annoy. They don't want to this. I was there. But if all we let is these people who seemingly may or may not care be the ones in the spotlight, then we'll have a lot more hate in our world before we have love. But if more people who are passive and sit back can speak up because they're inspired by somebody like me, like you, like anybody else that's out there who's had the courage to go from behind the scenes and hidden, invisible, to being seen and being heard. So, awesome. Lots of fantastic comments, it looks like. Listen,
yes,
we got some.
They are coming across. They're really, really enjoying the conversation tonight.
Cool.
Like I said, I love the humility, the transparency, because people can't get healed when someone has a facade. There's no way that I can help you if I'm just pretending. You know, it's time to walk in the real, because if you walk in the real, then you can help that person come into their real self, you know?
Yeah, versus all.